Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Amen. When you put on certain devices in your ears, there's a really, really good reason for it. Now, some of you are wearing devices in your ears so you can hear, period. I know. Others of you like to put in things such as earbuds or wear things such as headphones so that you can input the kind of music or the kind of information that you need to hear. And the thing that I really like about those devices is this. When you are wearing something like that, you are intentionally listening. It's not like you're at the dentist's office or in an elevator or at Walmart or something where music is being played and you're not even supposed to really realize it. It's rather the case that you are intentionally and on purpose wanting to hear what's going into your mind. And this is exactly the way that God wants us to be when He speaks to us through the power of His Word. When He speaks to us by the Holy Spirit, He wants us to be intentional and to hear just like little Samuel did that great day. You remember that story, don't you? If you're a Sunday school veteran, there was a mom to be whose name was Hannah. And Hannah and her husband found themselves in a terrible situation. They were trying to have children, and they just couldn't. For whatever reason, they were just not able to conceive. And so Hannah, if you remember the story, was in the habit of going to the holy place in Israel, which by this time was still just a tent. There was no temple yet. It was just a movable tent in the wilderness. And Hannah would go into the holy place and pray. And when I say pray, I mean Hannah just let it all hang out. Hannah prayed with great intensity and fervor. In fact, Hannah prayed so hard for a child. Does anybody remember what Eli the high priest accused her of one day when he saw her? What did he accuse her of? Yeah, the high priest thought she was drunk. And she said, "I'm not drunk, I just want a child that badly." And so the Holy Spirit filled Eli, the high priest, and he prophesied that day that Hannah would indeed, with her husband, conceive and bear a child. And on that day, Hannah promised God that if that did occur indeed, that she would bring that child back to the holy place and give him back into the care of Eli, the high priest, so he could, or she could, serve the Lord forever. And that day came when that came true. Little Samuel was born, and when he was old enough, Hannah brought him back to the holy place and gave him into the care of Eli, the high priest. So this is where our story begins. Eli and Samuel are in the holy place, the tent. And this is where the story picks up. Let's remember what the story is. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. Now, that's going to be important, so let's remember that, and we'll hold on to that for just a moment. Let's continue. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Now, remember the ark. That was that holy object that God had instructed Moses to construct that symbolized his presence on earth. It was so holy that what happened to people who touched it? They died. It was so holy that it was kept covered, and only once per year was a high priest able to go anywhere near it. And here this little kid, Samuel, not even knowing what this is sleeping next to it. It's the most holy object on the planet, and he's sleeping right by it. If you have no idea what we're talking about, go to Netflix and find Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark, and you'll get some kind of clue. So here Samuel is laying by the ark, and God is about to change the destiny of his country, Israel. Because at this time, Israel was in a sorry state spiritually. It had been hundreds of years since Moses had lived, and it had been a long, long time since the conquest of Canaan. They were still wandering around with a tent. There was seemingly nothing amazing happening anymore. I mean, there used to be miracles every other day in Israel, and now in Samuel's day, nothing like that was going on. And remember, we were told that the word of the Lord seemed rare. There were not many visions. That's descriptive of Israel. And they had, as a nation, become so complacent in their worship, it was something that they just did by rote. They just came and they put in their time. They just came and they warmed their pew, not literally, but you know what I mean. And a lot of them had abandoned worship altogether. That was the sad state of the spiritual life of Israel. And that can happen in our own day. When people stop listening to God's word, or they water down God's word to suit their own desires and their own preconceived notions of what is true and not true. When we just go through the motions as people, we begin to wonder why we're going through the motions at all. And you have situations of churches closing every week in America because the word of the Lord seems rare, and there are not many visions. Now, it's not that God isn't talking. It's that we're not listening. That's always the case. God is constantly talking to his people, constantly wanting us to know what would be good for us, what would be healthy for us, what would be something that would cause us to become the people that he always dreamed we would be. Our problem is that we don't listen. And my favorite story about that is from one of my heroes, Winston Churchill, who, as most of you know, was the Prime Minister of Great Britain several times. And in his office, he had to endure these long lines of people whose hands he had to shake because he was the head of state, and so were they. And so at these state occasions, he'd have to endure this hours of shaking hands. And it's not that he didn't like people or conversation. Winston Churchill was convinced that no one was really listening to anything that anyone was saying. They were just thinking about what was the right thing to say and the proper thing to say and the diplomatic thing to say, and that's what they were going to say. So one day, the first man in line came up to Churchill and shook his hand and said something like, "Oh, Mr. Churchill, what an honor to see you, sir." And Churchill was in a playful mood. So he said, "I killed my grandmother this morning." And the man said, "And it's an honor to see you too, sir," and just kept on walking. And Churchill couldn't believe it. Didn't faze him a bit. Second man in line came by and said, "Mr. Churchill, what a great thing it is to be here." And Churchill said, "I killed my grandmother this morning." And the man said, "Keep up the good work, sir," and kept on walking. Person after person after person in line had no reaction whatsoever to what Churchill was saying, except the last man in line, who was the ambassador to India, who shook Churchill's hand and said something, and Churchill said, "I killed my grandmother this morning," and the man blinked his eyes and said, "I'm sure she had it coming to her, sir." Listening is hard, isn't it? Listening is hard. But God's promise is that when we listen, he's going to change our life. He's going to change the world. Let's remember how the story goes. So Samuel went down and lay down in his place. And remember, two times the Lord had called Samuel, and Samuel had thought it was Eli. He had gone to Eli, and Eli said, no, go lay down. Now the third time this happened, and the Lord came and stood there calling, as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel said these great iconic words, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And the most amazing thing, I think, about those words is this, that the Lord came and stood there in the holy place. And his promise is that he is here in no less a way than he was there in that holy place. And his promise is that he wants to speak to us through the power of his word in no less a way than he did when he spoke to Samuel. Because this is what happened when he spoke to Samuel. A revolution broke out in Israel. That little boy grew. And as you might recall, he led the nation back to the Lord, back to a holiness that they had sorely lacked. He was the one who anointed David king. And David was the one who gave rise to Solomon, who built a permanent temple for the Lord. And that life of Israel, the nation, was so turned around that they were successful in becoming the nation through whom our Messiah Jesus came, so that we might listen as well. And that's what we are called to do, because the Lord is here. Every time we sing, we pray, we hear the scripture, we hear and participate, God is speaking. But this is our normal reaction to it. I don't want to hear it, because I have a better idea. And Lord, I know what you want, and I know what you don't want, but you see, circumstances are such that I have no choice. So I'm going to do it my way. Or, Lord, we know what you want and what you don't want. However, this is just the way society is, and so we're just going to go with it, because that's just polite. And because that's the way that we are, because that's what we say to God, our Savior Jesus never failed to listen. Do you remember the time Jesus was irritating the Pharisees, which he did every day? But this time he told the Pharisees, I don't do a thing unless I see my Heavenly Father doing it or telling me to do it. Jesus never did anything that his Heavenly Father didn't tell him to do. He listened constantly because we can't, because we won't, because we don't feel the inclination our Savior Jesus did. And until one day when he was on the cross and he called out and he heard no reply. For the first time in his life, our Savior called out to his Father and heard nothing. And he called out, why have you forsaken me? Because his Heavenly Father looked at that wretched, beaten mass of blood and bone on the cross, and all he saw was sin. And he condemned it, and he didn't listen to it. Until our Savior rose, and now he reigns. And now we, forgiven and set free with ears unstopped, have the ability to say, speak, we'll listen. We have a destiny not only as people, not only as families, but as a congregation that God is calling us into. And we have been engaged in this 2020 vision endeavor, seeking the Lord's direction, seeking the Lord's heart, asking Him, is this what you are calling us as a congregation to do? And a lot of you have been to the forums for this, and a lot of you know a lot about this. And we're going to have the opportunity today to listen to each other through the taking of this survey, asking the Lord, is this indeed the way that you are calling us to go? Or is there something else that you are calling us to do and to be? Because if we listen to God's plan through 2020 Vision, He is going to cause a revolution in Iowa City, completely like the revolution that happened in Israel. So, with that, let's pray. That, Lord, in a couple moments, after we have received You again in us through that wonderful opportunity called communion, we are going to indicate our hearts and our thoughts and our minds as informed by our baptisms, as moved by Your Spirit. You are going to speak through us. Lord, we pray that we will listen as we take this survey, that we will listen to Your Spirit informing our sanctified minds and hearts, and that it won't be our desires, but rather Your desires for us that come through as we take these surveys. Because that is Your desire. You want to speak and act through us so that we're not just hearers of the word, but doers of it. So thank You for all those who have already taken the survey and those who have been in our personal interviews. Thank You for them. And thank You also for the dozens of people this morning who are going to take the survey shortly. All those things we pray in the power of the One who calls us to speak so we can listen. Jesus, our Savior. Amen.